السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
In previous sermons, I have discussed the teachings the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, brought us regarding expressing gratitude, as well as the personal example he set in this regard. Today, I will mention how, in this era, his ardent devotee understood the highest stage of this and how he presented it on various occasions and through various references. Similarly, I will also speak on his own practice, how he guided the children in his home in this regard, and the expectations he had from an Ahmadi. All of these aspects are guiding principles for us in this day and age. Explaining the importance and wisdom of being grateful for Allah the Almighty's blessings, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "When a person attains a high rank, he then becomes arrogant. Whereas in that period, he can do many good works and benefit mankind." Allah the Almighty states in the Holy Quran, "If you are grateful, I will surely bestow more favors on you. But if you are ungrateful, then know that my punishment is severe indeed." That is, when Allah bestows His favors upon a person, he should express gratitude for them and care for the welfare of mankind. But if instead of doing this, he begins to commit injustice, then Allah takes those blessings away from him and punishes him. In one instance, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, "First and foremost is to be grateful to Allah who gave us life, health, vigor, peace, and provided the means for the propagation of the faith." And in reality, the truth is verily that if one were to try to enumerate these bounties of God Almighty, it would be absolutely impossible for us to count the favors and blessings of Allah. On another occasion, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "Muslims ought to be extremely thankful to God, who has granted them a religion that is pure, both in theory and practice, of every form of corruption, abomination, and defect. If a person reflects closely and deeply, they will find that truly it is Allah Almighty alone to whom all praise and quality belong, and no human being or any other creation in the true sense is really worthy of praise and admiration. If an individual observes pure of any vested motives, it shall become clearly evident to them that any individual who is declared worthy of praise can only be deserving if at some point in time when nothing of existence or matter was to be found, they created those things. Another reason could be that in an era when nothing existed and when there was no knowledge of the means and elements that are required to bring a thing into existence, preserve it, safeguard its health, and maintain its life, someone furnished all these necessary means. Or perhaps at a time when this creation could have been prey to a multitude of afflictions, someone had mercy on it and protected it. Further still, someone could be worthy of praise if, for example, they save from being wasted the effort of one who works and bestows the rights in full of those who labor. Although apparently, fulfilling the rights of a laborer is nothing more than just recompense. Such a person can be deemed a benefactor who also fulfills the rights of others in full. These are the various qualities. And unless these qualities are present, and a person then helps others, he cannot truly be worthy of praise. He said, these are qualities of the highest order, which can make a person deserving of praise and commendation. Now reflect and see that in reality, only Allah the Almighty is truly deserving of all these qualities. He states that only Allah the Almighty is deserving of these 3 to 4 qualities that I have mentioned. He alone possesses these attributes in their perfection. There is no other person in whom these qualities are found. There is no other being who possesses these attributes. Then, drawing attention towards expressing gratitude to Allah for the revival of Islam and the establishment of the Ahmadiyya movement, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, O wise ones, marvel not that God Almighty has sent down a heavenly light during this time of need and within these days of intense darkness, having designated a servant for the universal good and sent him into the world for the purpose of demonstrating the supremacy of the message of Islam, promoting the light of the best of mankind, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and to help the Muslims as well as to purify their inner condition. Rather, astonishment would have been applicable in the event that that God, who is the defender of the faith of Islam, and who had promised that he would forever remain the guardian of the Quranic teaching, and would never allow it to grow cold, lifeless, or lightless, had kept silent upon seeing this darkness, gazing upon mischief, internal and external, all the while forgetting that promise of which he had affirmed so emphatically in the Holy Word. The blessing that Allah the Almighty has sent is in accordance with his promise, and there is nothing surprising about it. The wonder would have been if Allah the Almighty had not fulfilled his promise and the decline of Islam had continued. He further states, I say it again, if there were an occasion for surprise, it would be that the clear and explicit prophecy of that holy messenger went unfulfilled, in which it had been stated that God Almighty would continue to raise a servant of such exalted caliber at the head of every century who would revive his religion. So this is no occasion for surprise. On the contrary, it is an occasion for rendering thousands upon thousands of thanks, and it is a time to strengthen one's faith and conviction. And thus we see that until the advent of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, Mujaddids appeared among different peoples at the beginning of each century. And Allah the Almighty then sent him as the Mujaddid for the final millennium, granting him the status of the Promised Messiah and Mahdi. He continues, it is an occasion for rendering thousands upon thousands of thanks, and it is a time to strengthen one's faith and conviction that God Almighty, through his grace and mercy, fulfilled his promise and did not allow even a minute's delay in the prophecy of his messenger. He not only fulfilled this prophecy, but also opened the door to thousands of prophecies and miracles in the future. With the advent of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, Allah Almighty fulfilled many other prophecies. He states, if you possess faith, be grateful and perform prostrations of gratitude, for you have chanced upon the epoch in whose eager anticipation your noble forefathers passed away, and in whose very yearning countless souls departed from this life. The Muslim scholars and saints of old continued to wait for the advent of the Promised Messiah, yet they were unable to witness his coming. He states that you are fortunate to have witnessed that era, so be grateful to God Almighty. It now lies within your hand to appreciate it or not, as well as to benefit from it or not. I shall proclaim it time and time again, the declaration of which I cannot refrain from, that I am that very one who was sent at the appointed time for the reformation of mankind. Allah the Almighty fulfilled that promise in me, so that the faith might be firmly planted afresh within the hearts. If only those who oppose him and those Muslims who do not accept him would understand this, while expressing gratitude to Allah the Almighty, accept the ones sent by him and bind themselves together in the bond of unity so that they may be saved from the difficulties through which Muslims are passing today. Addressing a seeker of truth, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, stated, "Be thankful to God that he has come to our aid precisely at the time of need and has established this dispensation. Therefore, it behoves you not to waste away this bounty that has been conferred upon you, and regard it with honor. Give value to the help and succor that has been given to you. Bear well in mind that without the support of God, and unless he enables one to speak, no individual can expound any matter with full strength in a rightful manner. Without this, a person simply cannot find the proper arguments and is unable to speak in an effective way. It is only when Allah's help is present that arguments are granted. It is also due to the special grace of God that through such a manner of exposition, those people who possess the faculty of goodness within can recognize the person who speaks with the power and strength of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a favor of Allah that people are able to recognize the one sent by Allah. Therefore, it is a magnificent favor of God Almighty upon you that he conferred this faculty upon you and gave you eyes with which to recognize the truth. Addressing a seeker of truth, he said, you are seeking the truth, so give thanks to Allah that he has granted you this understanding. There are many people who consider themselves great scholars, yet they possess no understanding. They continue to increase in opposition, but you should be grateful that Allah has granted you understanding. These are very great favors of Allah. He states, if he had not blessed you in this manner, just as others are covered in veils and hurl abuse, you too would have been among them. Thus, those who accepted are the fortunate. It is the sheer grace of God that has brought you. He then gave the example, saying, for example, just look at me, Abdul Haq. If the grace of Allah had not come to help him, how could he have left this life of luxury? The Mia Abdul Haq mentioned here was Munshi Abdul Haq, a resident of Kasur. At that time, he was a student studying for his BA. Although he was a Muslim, 3 years before this statement was made, he had become a Christian. After reading Al-Hakam and some of the writings of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, he wrote a letter to the Promised Messiah stating that he wished to see the truth and veracity of Islam manifested in practical form. He said that he had not found anything in Islam as such and therefore wished to see it demonstrated in practice. The Promised Messiah wrote back to him, instructing him to come and stay in Qadian for at least 2 months. Accordingly, he set out for Darul Aman and arrived there in 1901. He then remained in the company of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, particularly while several advisers had gathered around him. He arrived at a time when, upon deciding to go there, several people advised him not to go to Qadian. They even tried to stop him from doing so. One of them went so far as to abuse him, despite the fact that using abusive language is prohibited in his religion and is generally contrary to civility and good manners. Yet despite all these things, the grace of God prevailed and drew him there. The means of evil simply did not become available to him. Otherwise, if at that time he had been married, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said that difficulties might have arisen because of his marriage. Had he married, he might have been faced with a trial, but God protected him in every way. The grace of God does not suddenly come into existence as something new. That is to say, it is the grace of Allah which He bestows upon whoever He favors. It is not something new. Rather, when Allah bestows His grace upon someone, He protects that person in every way. Do not think that merely because we are Muslims, everything is settled. Islam is a great blessing. Value it and give thanks for it. There is a philosophy within it that cannot be attained merely by uttering words. Simply calling oneself a Muslim does not complete the matter. One must also follow the teachings, actions, and principles that Islam requires. Expressing gratitude for those who possess sincerity and love for the Ahmadiyya movement, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, states, "At this juncture, I cannot proceed without mentioning and expressing the gratitude for the fact that the grace and bounty of God Almighty has not left me alone. Those who build the bond of brotherhood with me and enter this movement, which God Almighty has established with His own hand, are adorned with the hues of love and loyalty in a wonderful manner. It is not through any effort of mine, but out of His own special favor, that God Almighty gifted me these souls, brimming with sincerity." He is saying this in praise of the sincere people who have joined Ahmadiyyat, that they are souls brimming with sincerity that have come to him. Among these sincere people who have joined Ahmadiyyat, my heart is first moved to mention one of my spiritual brothers whose name, like the light of his sincerity, is Nuruddin. I have always looked with longing at some of his religious services, which he renders for the cause of exalting the word of Islam by spending from his lawful earnings, wishing that I too might be able to render such services. Even though he himself was doing so much for the cause of Islam, he says that when he saw the sacrifices of Hazrat Maulvi Nuruddin, may Allah be pleased with him, he felt a deep longing, wishing that he too could render such financial services. Whenever I contemplate the fervor in his heart for the support of the faith, a picture of the divine power comes before my eyes, showing how he draws his servants towards himself. With all his wealth, all his strength, and all the means at his disposal, he stands ever ready to obey Allah and His Messenger. Here the Prophet Messiah is speaking about Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, may Allah be pleased with him. "I know from experience, and not merely on the basis of good opinion, that he would not hesitate to sacrifice not only his wealth in my cause, but even his life and honor. Had I permitted him, he would have sacrificed everything in this cause and fulfilled the right of physical companionship and constant association with me, just as he had fulfilled the right of spiritual companionship. He would have remained with me permanently." When these words were written, it is around 1890, towards the end of the 1890s, in the book Fateh Islam. Later, Hazrat Maulvi Hakim Nuruddin, may Allah be pleased with him, left everything and came into the service of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, remaining with him. Mentioning the physical and spiritual favors of Allah the Almighty under his attribute of being the gracious, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "Worthy of infinite praise and adoration is the mighty Lord who demonstrated his great power by creating all souls and bodies through his command and decree without any pre-existing matter or substance, that is, without any matter or primordial substance, and who manifested the sign of his eternal grace by imparting knowledge to and perfecting the morals of all the noble prophets without the agency of a teacher or mentor. That is, the prophets whom Allah sends are also taught by him, trained by him, and receive his commandments." He states, "Holy is Allah, the gracious and beneficent, who gave us poor mortals without any merit of our own, all that we needed, without us deserving it. For our physical sustenance, he appointed the sun, the moon, the clouds, and the winds. And to satisfy our spiritual needs, he sent down the Torah, the Gospels, the Quran, and all other heavenly books at their appropriate times." He then prayed, Countless thanks be to you, O Allah, for guiding us to the path that leads to you, and for saving us from errors of thought and reason by sending down your holy books. We invoke blessings on the chief of prophets, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa, the chosen one, may peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, on his progeny and on his companions. Through him, God guided an entire world that had lost its way to the right path. He was the teacher and the benefactor who led misguided people back to the right path, the benevolent and compassionate one who delivered people from shirk, polytheism, and the curse of idols, the light and the disseminator of light who illumined the world with the light of Tawheed, the oneness of God, the healer and physician who enabled ailing hearts to tread the path of righteousness, the noble miracle worker who revived the dead with the elixir of life, that is, those who were spiritually dead, the merciful and compassionate one who suffered pain and sorrow for his ummah. His community was falling into decline, and for its sake, the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, was sent in that age, and he bore great anguish for it. The valiant and the brave one who rescued us from the jaws of death. Allah first sent the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, for the reformation of the world, and then sent his true servant. He states, regarding the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, the valiant and the brave one who rescued us from the jaws of death, the humble and selfless one who bowed his head before his Lord in total submission, i.e. the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, and completely annihilated himself, the perfect believer in the oneness of God and the ocean of knowledge, who was overawed by nothing except the majesty of God and saw everything besides him as worthless, and the miracle of divine power, who despite being unlettered, surpassed all in respect of divine knowledge and brought home to all nations the errors and mistakes from which they suffered. This is a description of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him. The Prophet Messiah first gave examples from the Torah and the Gospels for the peoples who had been guided through those scriptures. But when corruption subsequently spread throughout the world, it was the person of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, whom Allah Almighty sent, and through whom he brought the people back to their Creator. The Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, then supplicates, O Lord of all the worlds, it is beyond me to offer your gratitude for all your favors. You are most merciful and compassionate, and the bounties that you have conferred upon me are countless. Forgive me my sins, lest I be ruined. Fill my heart with sincere love for you, so that I may receive life. Cover my faults, and allow me to perform such deeds which become the source of your pleasure. I seek refuge in your noble countenance, lest your punishment befall me. Have mercy and save me from the calamities of this world and the hereafter. For all grace and compassion is in your hand. Ameen, and again, Ameen. Then the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, writes, 1,000-fold thanks are due to that gracious Lord who has bestowed upon us a religion which provides such a means of knowing God and fearing Him as has never been witnessed in any other age or at any other time. And thousands upon thousands of blessings be upon that sinless Prophet through whom we entered this holy religion, and thousands of mercies be upon the companions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who watered this garden with their blood. Then at one instance the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, said, those who are truthful and righteous in God's view have always endured suffering at the hands and from the tongues of the ignorant. Those who are righteous and truthful in the sight of Allah the Exalted, who are truly bound to the faith, who are faithful to Allah the Exalted, they suffer hurt from the hands and tongues of the ignorant, just as Ahmadis too are suffering in various places in this age. Since it has been the eternal practice of Allah from the earliest times that this should be so, therefore, if we too endure some hurt, whether from our own people or from strangers, we ought to render thanks and rejoice that we have at least proven worthy in the sight of that true beloved of being made to suffer in his path. If we are being made to suffer in the path of Allah the Almighty, then this too is our good fortune, and we ought to rejoice and give thanks to Allah, for it is only those whom Allah the Almighty loves, who are made to bear suffering in His way and to be persecuted. Thus, to bear suffering in this manner is indeed our very honor. But when we look at the other side, that certain enemies of the faith, through their fabrications, are not content merely with causing us distress, but also cast heedless and uninformed people into turmoil, then in such a case, we consider it incumbent upon ourselves to protect these unaware people from turmoil to the best of our ability. That is to say, we should also explain the reality to them and expose whatever evils these enemies commit in order to harm people. To protect people from turmoil does not mean that we ourselves should begin to use the same crude language that our opponents use and descend into ill manners. Rather, remaining within the bounds of Islamic teaching, we should answer their false propaganda and slanderous accusations. This is something every one of our preachers, too, should bear in mind. Sometimes in responding to the objections of critics, we ourselves say things of such a nature that they give the objector an occasion to question our moral standards. Our morals ought to be extremely elevated. Indeed, we must certainly state the truth, but while remaining within the bounds of good moral conduct, we must not adopt the same language as they do. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states, "This humble one cannot render sufficient thanks for the favors of Allah the Almighty, that at this time of being declared a disbeliever, when from every direction the voices of the clerics of this age are rising, saying, 'You are not a believer,' there comes from Allah, glorious in His Majesty, this call. Say, 'I have been commanded, and I am the first of the believers.' On the one hand, the clerics are saying, 'Somehow uproot this man.' And on the other hand, comes the revelation. They wait in expectation of misfortunes befalling you. An evil turn of fortune shall befall them instead. In the end, this is indeed the result that will come to pass, God willing. On one side, they are striving to utterly disgrace and humiliate this man. And on the other side, God is promising. Whoever seeks to disgrace you, I shall disgrace him. Allah is your reward. Allah shall grant you, Your Majesty." On one side, the clerics are writing edict after edict, declaring that believing in and following this man renders a person a disbeliever. While on the other side, Allah the Exalted is repeatedly emphasizing His revelation, "Say, if you love Allah, then follow me, Allah shall love you." Allah the Almighty has said this to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him as well. And in following him, Allah the Almighty has said the same to his true servant, because it is he alone who is the true ardent lover of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him. And to accept him is to give perfect obedience to the Holy Prophet, since he is the Holy Prophet's perfect and obedient servant. In short, all these clerics are contending against Allah the Almighty himself. Now let us see to whom victory belongs. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the community is gradually progressing. The way the community is growing is an answer enough for these people. If only they had insight to see and some sense of shame. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "At this point, I cannot refrain from rendering this thanks, that just as Allah the Almighty, in support of our Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, held the disbelievers accountable through his revelation and declared that my Prophet possesses conduct of such a lofty standard that you have no power to point out any fault or flaw in his past 40 years of life, even though he lived among you day and night for 40 years. Nor do you have the power to find even a speck of fault in his noble family, which is a family of nobility, purity, sovereignty, and eminence. Then reflect, a person who belongs to so exalted, so pure, so noble a family, and whose 40 years of life lived out before your very eyes, bear witness that fabrication and falsehood are not his way. Then give these excellences when he is also displaying heavenly signs, when the support of Allah the Almighty is manifestly with him, and when he has brought a teaching against which your own beliefs stand utterly filthy, impure, and steeped in polytheism. After all this, what doubt remains in your minds as to the truthfulness of this Prophet? Then, on the matter of answering the opponents of Islam, that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, is that true and genuine Prophet who came from Allah the Almighty and provides the means for the world to be joined to Allah the Exalted, the Promised Messiah refers to himself and states, "In the very same way, Allah the Almighty has held my opponents and deniers accountable, for I too am the true servant of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him. To me as well, Allah the Almighty has made this very same promise." Thus, he cites Ibrahim Ahmadiyya saying, "In it, there is a revelation concerning me. 20 years have now passed since its publication, and it is this revelation." That is, tell these opponents, "I have lived among you for 40 years, and throughout this long period, you have observed me, and my work has never been fabrication or falsehood, and God has kept me safe from a life of impurity." Then a person who for so long a period, that is for 40 years, remained protected from every kind of fabrication, mischief, deceit, and malice, and who never once told a lie to any of God's creation, how then is it possible that contrary to his lifelong habit, he should now fabricate a lie against Allah the Almighty? I have already narrated many aspects of his character earlier, and it has become clear from them that even his opponents used to praise him, saying that he never told a lie, never behaved in such and such a way. Thus, these are expressions of gratitude in which the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has rendered thanks for the bounties of Allah the Almighty and has also expressed feelings of gratitude toward his helpers and supporters. Then, besides these matters, he also endeavored to instill in children the importance of gratitude. As for how his practice was at home in this regard, a narration states that the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, once told the children at home a story, which Hazrat Muslim Aud had recorded to be published in the newspaper Al-Hakam. And it was as follows. There was a bold man and a blind man. An angel of God, having taken on a human form, came to the bold man and asked, "What do you desire?" The bold man said, "Let hair grow on my head, and let me acquire wealth and riches." So the angel passed his hand over the bold man's head, and by God's power, hair sprouted on his head, and he was also granted wealth and servants. Then the angel came to the blind man and asked him, "What do you desire?" The blind man said, "Let my eyes be given light, so that I need not go about begging for scraps of bread, and let me be given money, so that I need not be dependent on anyone." The angel passed his hands over his eyes, and they were given light, and he too was granted wealth and riches. Then, by the command of Allah the Almighty, that same angel came in order to test the blind man and the bold man in the guise of a beggar. And going to the bold man, he made a request of him. The bold man answered him harshly and rudely, snapped at him, and said, "Be off. There are plenty of beggars like you wandering about." The angel passed his hand over his head, and the bold man became bold once again, and all his wealth and riches were taken away, and he was reduced once more to the same straitened conditions as before. Then that same angel, in the guise of a beggar, came to the blind man, who had become very wealthy and had regained his sight, and made his request. The blind man said, "It is Allah the Almighty alone who has given all of this. It is his wealth, take it." At this, Allah the Almighty granted the blind man even more wealth and riches. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then said, "So my dear children, you too should remember to be grateful for the blessings that Allah the Almighty has given you, to value them, and never to rebuke one who asks of you. To give charity is a good thing, and one ought to give to the one who asks. This pleases God, and he increases blessings all the more." Although this is drawn from a lengthy hadith in which three kinds of people are mentioned, he shortened it for the children and related it at home in the form of this story. When Ramadan fell in the winter, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, expressed his feelings of gratitude in a fine and subtle manner. Thus, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib writes that Maulvi Shir Ali Sahib related to him that once the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said, that it too was a favor of Allah the Almighty, that He raised us up at a time when the month of Ramadan falls in winter, so that fasting does not cause much physical hardship, and we are able to carry out our work with ease even during Ramadan. Maulvi Sahib used to say that in those days Ramadan had fallen in December, and he humbly submitted that he had looked at the almanac of that period. This is my own observation. Perhaps it is Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib who is saying that he examined the calendar of that time, and according to that, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, made his claim to being the Messiah in 1891. And in 1891, the month of Ramadan began on the 11th of April. This was, as it were, the beginning of the month of Ramadan's entry into the winter season. Thus, in 1892, the month of Ramadan began on the 31st of March in 1893, on the 20th of March, and after that, the month of Ramadan continued each year to fall increasingly within the winter days. And when the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, passed away in 1908, the month of Ramadan that year began on the 1st of October. Thus, as it were, the entire period of the Promised Messiah's mission passed under such circumstances that the fast of Ramadan continued to fall in the winter season. And this was a favor of Allah the Almighty brought about under His general decree, one which the discerning temperament of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, recognized as a blessing from God and which stirred up feelings of gratitude within him. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, also used to give thanks over the fact that humanity was benefiting from someone's work. Thus, in speaking of good deeds pertaining to the welfare of mankind, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, once referred to the practice of medicine in relation to Hazrat Hakim Maulana Nuruddin Sahib. The treatment and healing of the sick is a matter of great benefit, and the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, regarded it with a great sense of appreciation. Once, when Hazrat Maulvi Sahib was mentioned at home, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, kept saying, "All praise belongs to Allah, all praise belongs to Allah," for a long time, and said that Hazrat Hakim Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib was himself one of the blessings of Allah the Almighty. For through him, many poor people received treatment. It was others who were being treated, yet it was the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, who was giving thanks that a service was being rendered to humanity. And he gave thanks over the fact that these human beings were benefiting from it. This was his compassion for humanity as well, that he would express gratitude even to the one who removed people's sufferings, and would also give thanks to Allah the Almighty for having arranged the means to remove their suffering. God willing, I shall relate further matters on this subject in future. At this time, I wish to mention a few of our deceased members, and after the prayer, I shall also lead their funeral prayers in absentia. The first of these is the mention of Hafiz Shabazz Ahmed Sahib, the missionary of the community serving in Ivory Coast, who passed away on the 18th of July due to cardiac arrest at the age of 31. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, he was a Musi. Among those he leaves behind are his wife and one daughter. In 2008, he memorized the Holy Quran. After graduating from Jamia in 2019, he obtained a one-year diploma in the French language from NUML University, following which he obtained a master's degree in French. He was subsequently posted to the Ivory Coast. The deceased was a man of a most sociable, hospitable, and cheerful disposition, devoted to Khilafat, and a sincere servant of the community who discharged the responsibilities of his life devotion in an excellent manner. For quite some time, he had been teaching the Holy Quran online with proper pronunciation and rules of recitation in Urdu and Persian. Those who write about him say that the most striking feature of the deceased was his self-respect and patience. He never became a burden upon anyone. He had a great passion for preaching and would sometimes even hold preaching gatherings at his own home. He maintained excellent relations with dignitaries and the city administration. He constantly sought different ways to train the members of the community. He never allowed any distance to arise between himself and the African people. In his region, he also carried out construction projects for the community with great dedication and hard work, accomplished good works, and had mosques built in various places. His wife, Sabika Sahiba, says that he was a good, pious, and very responsible missionary, husband, and father. One thing he would always say was, "Pray for me that Allah the Almighty may enable me to render great service for the Jamaat." He had a great yearning to do something significant for the Jamaat. He held the funds of the Jamaat in very high regard. He was filled with patience and forbearance. Whatever hardship or sorrow he faced, he never allowed its impacts to become apparent. There was not the slightest trace of anger in him. He was always smiling and cheerful. He spoke gently and would explain matters with love. Noman Qadir Sahib, who is a missionary, says that Hafiz Sahib was a person of sound judgment. Whenever he was consulted regarding any Jamaat matter, he would offer advice with such remarkable intelligence that a matter which appeared difficult would be resolved with ease. Allah the Almighty had granted him this great ability even in his youth. Ihtisham ul-Haq Sahib, a missionary, writes that apart from his relationship with the missionaries, he also had a very close bond with the local missionaries, with his neighbors, and with the members of the Jamaat. Many people mentioned this during meetings. He would quietly help others in times of difficulty. Rafi Tabassum Sahib says that the deceased regarded every task of the Jamaat as his own responsibility. Whenever a duty was assigned to him, he would fulfill it not merely as an obligation, but as an act of worship. Punctuality, planning, responsibility, and sincerity were among the most prominent features of his character. Another quality of the deceased was that he was always thinking of new ways to educate and train the Jamaat membership. He was concerned for the moral and spiritual training of the youth, the children and the elders alike, and this is a very important and essential quality that a missionary ought to possess. Another outstanding quality of the deceased was his great sincerity. He served selflessly and never made any display of it. He was not one who sought fame. Rather, he sought the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. Wherever he was appointed, he remained occupied in the service of the faith. He would teach children to recite the Holy Quran with the correct pronunciation, and he did so with great love. Many children were his students, and they remember him fondly. The next mention is of Yeringana Momini Sahib from Burkina Faso. He was serving as the Zaim of Majlis Ansarullah in his area. In July, he was working in the fields. Terrorists opened fire on him and he was martyred. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. He accepted Ahmadiyyat in 1989. Wudud Sahib, a missionary, writes that the martyr was an extremely sincere person who had deep love for the Jamaat and Khilafat. He had a passionate love for the Holy Quran, a strong attachment to the mosque, and a special spirit for worship, obedience to Khilafat, and service to the Jamaat. Similarly, Abdullah Jangani Sahib, a local missionary, states that he was a very brave, fearless, sincere, righteous, devoted to worship, good-natured, sociable, reserved in speech, and an excellent worker who loved and obeyed Khilafat. He would often be the first to arrive at the mosque and would sit there reciting the Holy Quran. The local missionary further states that when he would pass by his house at the time of Fajr, he would hear the sound of Quranic recitation coming from within. Abdul Rahman Sahib, the regional president of that area, says that whenever he called him for Jamaat work, despite being advanced in age, he would come himself and bring his children with him whenever there was Wakar-e-Amal to be done. He would ensure to attend every Jalsa and Ishtima. Even when he was unwell, he would still take part in the Jamaat programs. Amin Baloch Sahib says that he also lived in that area and knew him to be very regular in paying financial contributions. Likewise, respected Balbo Sahib, a local missionary, says that even one day before his martyrdom, he had made contact regarding his financial contributions and expressed concern about their payment. He was filled with the spirit of serving the Jamaat. These are the very qualities that everyone who wrote about him has mentioned. He is survived by 2 widows and 13 sons and daughters. May Allah the Almighty treat him with forgiveness and mercy. The third mention is of the respected Yahya Sumari Sahib from Mali. He also passed away recently at the age of 32. Surely to Allah we belong and to him shall we return. He too is a martyr. Due to terrorism, conditions in Mali have been difficult for some time. Yahya Sumari Sahib was serving in the army and was posted on military duty in the village of Anafis in the Gao region. It is said that on the 4th of July, the weather was poor and strong winds were blowing. At that time, he told his commanding officer that he would go and check on the soldiers who were on duty. When he went out to check on the units that were patrolling against the terrorists, the terrorists attacked. And during this attack, Yahya Sahib was martyred. It is written about him that the army had decided to promote him on 22nd of September, Mali's Independence Day, and that he was also to receive a Medal of Honor. His posting was also to be transferred to a large city. However, before this could take place, he attained the rank of martyrdom. His brother, Fodi Sumare, says that Yahya Sumare attended Jalsa Salana in 2022. During the Jalsa, as soon as he saw the picture of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, he was overcome with emotion and he felt a remarkable sense of peace and tranquility. During the Jalsa, after listening to the speeches and studying Jamaat literature, particularly the translation of the philosophy of the teachings of Islam in the local language, his conviction increased further. The rational and Islamic stance of the Ahmadi Muslim community regarding jihad had a particularly deep impact upon his heart. And on that blessed occasion of Jalsa Salana, he pledged allegiance and joined the Ahmadi Muslim community. His wife says that he was an exemplary husband, a very kind father to his child, and took care of their needs. He was a strong support for them in every difficult time. His parents say that he had a relationship of great love and respect with them. He would regularly call to ask about their well-being, take care of their needs, and try to remove every difficulty they faced. He was a very obedient son. The missionary in charge of Mali writes that he was a cheerful and pleasant young man, regular in fasting and offering prayers, considerate of those in need, an excellent example for both his own people and others, faithful in maintaining family ties, and a righteous and sincere person. Despite being a new convert, the deceased had an extraordinary devotion, deep attachment, reverence, and true love for the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, the Promised Messiah, and the Caliphs. His father was not an Ahmadi. However, after the martyrdom of his son, when he saw the kindness shown by the Jamaat and the way the Jamaat managed everything, he was deeply moved by this sympathy. He had already been researching religion, and he said that the truth of Ahmadiyyat had now become manifest to him. For this reason, he decided to enter the fold of Ahmadiyyat. The next mention is of respected Sirajul Haq Qureshi Sahib, who was serving as Naib Afsar Jalsa Salana Rabba. He too passed away recently at the age of 86. Verily to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. By the grace of Allah, he was a Musi. Ahmadiyyat entered his family through his grandfather, Hazrat Mir Qutbuddin Sahib, who was a companion of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. He had seen in a dream that the Promised Messiah had appeared. Accordingly, he went to Qadian and pledged allegiance at the hand of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. His grandmother was also a companion. Allah the Almighty blessed his grandfather with two sons, Qureshi Fazli Haq Sahib and Qureshi Abdul Ghani Sahib. Both sons were greatly devoted to the service of the faith. Despite being engaged in business, they remained ready at all times to serve the faith. They also played a significant role in the development and the settlement of Rabwa, especially when the search for water began. At that time, the work of installing hand pumps and similar arrangements was entrusted to them. The maternal grandfather of Qureshi Sirajul Haq Sahib, Maulvi Muhammad Usman Sahib, was also a companion. Most recently, Sirajul Haq Sahib was serving as Naib Nazir and Naib Afsar Jalsa Salana. He began regular Jamaat service some years ago. Approximately 15 or 20 years earlier. Before that, he served in the Department of Education, teaching in various colleges. He also taught at TI College, Rabwa. Sayyid Qasim Ahmed Sahib says that with the demise of Sirajul Haq Qureshi Sahib, all the works of the Jalsa Salana office feel as though a deeply sympathetic, compassionate colleague and elder has been separated from them. Whenever any task was assigned to him, he fulfilled it with great responsibility. He is survived by two daughters and two sons. One of his sons, Qamarul Haq Qureshi Sahib, is a missionary of the Jamaat and is serving in the history department. May Allah the Almighty grant him forgiveness and mercy. The next mention is of the respected Lawal Tayyib Sahib, a local missionary of the Jamaat in Nigeria. He too passed away recently at the age of 30. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. By the grace of Allah, he was a Musi. During the days of Jalsa Salana, while preparations were being made for the live broadcast, he was repairing the satellite dish at the mosque when he fell from a ladder and was severely injured. Despite treatment, he could not survive. He had suffered a very serious injury to his spine. He is survived by his parents, his wife, and a daughter who is approximately 11 months old. He completed his education at Jamiatul Mubashirin, Nigeria in 2018 and was appointed as a local missionary. He was a very humble, active, and sincere local missionary. He would fulfill any responsibility that was assigned to him by the Jamaat to the best of his ability, with great diligence, hard work, and sincerity. His parents say that he was a very responsible son, one who cared greatly for his parents and served them. Despite limited financial means, he always tried as far as he could to fulfill the financial needs of his parents. His wife says that alongside fulfilling his Jamaat responsibilities, he practically adhered to Islamic teachings and to the guidance of Khilafat Ahmadiyya. Because of his excellent morals, sincerity and kindness, he was equally loved by members of the Jamaat, other Muslims and non-Muslims alike. Munawwar Sahib, a local Muallim, also says that he possessed very good morals. He had great patience and courage and would encourage others. From his days as a student, he had a deep eagerness to serve the Jamaat. Even while lying ill, despite his severe injury, sickness and pain, He continued to ask about Jamaat matters and about the moral and spiritual training of the members. May Allah the Almighty grant him forgiveness and mercy. The next funeral is of the respected retired Master Ghafoor Ahmed Sahib, who was living in Canada. He had also served as president in a village in Sangla Hill. He too passed away recently. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. He was regular in offering the five daily prayers, devoted to Tahajjud, the pre-dawn voluntary prayer, God-fearing, sociable, deeply attached to Khilafat, and always obedient to the system of the Jamaat and to Khilafat. He cared for the needs of others as well and would quietly provide financial help to some people. He took an active part in financial contributions of the Jamaat and other financial initiatives. He listened to the sermons regularly and would urge others to do the same. He had great respect for the Jamaat workers and life devotees. He is survived by his wife, three daughters and five sons, as well as grandchildren. One of his sons, Naeem Iqbal Sahib, is the Amir and missionary in charge of Fiji. Due to being in the field of service at the time of his father's demise, he was unable to attend the funeral. May Allah the Almighty grant him patience and steadfastness, and may He grant the deceased forgiveness and mercy.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله إبعاد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر